This message that I'm going to share this morning is in some ways loosely connected to what I shared last week, though it's not following straight on. But again, I want to challenge us about thinking about what God has asked of us as his disciples. A disciple is one who follows and does what the master requires. And so in conversation, we often talk about wanting to know the will of God. And so that's what I'm going to talk about this morning, is the will of God. But I'm going to challenge you a little bit about what we actually think when we talk about wanting to know the will of God. I'm guessing there's many occasions when you've wanted to know God's will about something. Often we make references to the will of God when we have to make a decision or a choice that's difficult. We want direction from God to know what's best. Maybe it's a job or a move or one of those really life-changing choices, like, who am I going to marry? The last number of months, some of you know this, I've been searching for a new van. And the van I own is a conversion van that lets me get in and out on the wheelchair. It's got a ramp that comes out, and I got hand controls so that I can drive it. Those vans are incredibly expensive. My van, I was told, wasn't going to pass inspection, so I knew I needed a new van. The purchase meant that I was going to have to go into debt. I'm 67 years old. I'm a paraplegic. How smart is it to go into debt? How much debt is wise for me to take? And so we would say, God, if you'll just show me your will, then I'll obey. But I think that underneath that, what we are often asking for, more than really wanting to know what God's choice is, I want to know God's will so that I don't buy a lemon. Right? Because we think that if we just knew God's will, then I'm sure this van will last another 200,000 miles. I'll have plenty of time to be able to pay off the debt. If it's a job, then there'll be better opportunity for advancement. There'll be, you know, better pay, all of this stuff. If I just know God's will, then things will work out better. Now, maybe your motives are more noble than that when you want to know God's will. But if you forgive me, honestly, I doubt it. I think that when we talk about wanting to know God's will, that's often what we really mean. And the even harsher truth is that when we talk about God's will in that context, it's almost more like fortune telling than it is really seeking after God to honor him in all aspects of our lives, regardless of the circumstances. So here's what I'm going to do today. There are five times in the New Testament, there are five verses that actually say in so many words, this is God's will. There's five of them. And so I'm going to introduce you to all five of those verses so that you can leave today being absolutely sure that you know what God's will is. You won't need to wonder at the end of this message if you really want to know what God's will is. And so I'll be reading quite a bit of scripture and not explaining a lot, because in fact, these verses are so plain, they don't need much of my explanation. And when I read the text, in the past, I've rarely taken the liberty to highlight text or say, or kind of emphasize text. I've done that this time just to make it very clear to you how these scriptures relate to our topic. But first, let me tell you why I think it's important to us as followers of Jesus. This is 1 John. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desire. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So knowing the will and doing the will of God, that person has a lasting impact. So as we look at these passages, ask the Holy Spirit to show you how often you're distracted by the appetites of your body or the stuff that around you that looks better than the life that you're living. Maybe it's your friend's highlight reel on Facebook or Instagram. Who knows? But whatever distracts you and looks better to you than your life you're living, or this desire to protect my reputation and my position. Jesus' family showed up one day while he was preaching, and the messengers came to him to tell him that his family had arrived. And Jesus said this, "Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, sister, and mother." So if we do and know the will of God, it's evidence that we're part of his family and we're included as his brother, sister, or mother. And if we are a part of his family, then this is our instruction. Finally, everyone must live in harmony, be sympathetic, love each other, have compassion, and be humble. Don't pay people back with evil for the evil they do to you, or ridicule those who ridicule you. Instead, bless them because you were called to inherit a blessing. People who want to live a full life and enjoy good days, by the way, isn't that why I said we often want to know the will of God? Right? So that we can enjoy a full life and good days, must keep their tongues from saying evil things. That relates to what I said last week, by the way. And their lips from speaking deceitful things. They must turn away from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. The Lord's eyes are on those who do what he approves. His ears hear their prayer, but the Lord confronts those who do evil. Now, I want you to notice the quotes in that passage. I didn't put them there. The writer of 1 Peter put them there because he's actually quoting Psalm 34. This is an ancient text that the Jewish people knew by heart about how to honor God and what would bring them God's blessings. Then here is another familiar verse that tells us how to know God's will. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So, with those passages as a backdrop, would you agree that the will of God is important? Because it helps us to know that we belong to God's family. He calls us to this place of blessing and so on. So, here are the five verses in the New Testament that specifically say this is the will of God. The first one, Ephesians chapter 6, says this: "Bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service or people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. That's number one. A more contemporary translation for us would be employees, obey your employers with a sincere heart, as if you were the employee of Christ himself. Number two, you know what orders we gave you through the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you keep away from sexual sin as a mark of your devotion to him. The idea of sexual sin includes all kinds of sexual sin. Here's number three. Those who suffer because that is God's will for them must entrust themselves to the faithful Creator and continue to do what is good. Ouch. See, we think that God's will always has a good outcome. That verse suggests to me that sometimes we suffer because it's God's will. And when we do, we need to learn to entrust ourselves to our faithful Creator and continue to do what is good. Number four, we encourage you, brothers and sisters, to instruct those who are not living right, cheer up those who are discouraged, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Make sure that no one pays back one wrong with another wrong. Instead, always try to do what is good for each other and everyone else. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Whatever happens, give thanks, because it is God's will in Christ Jesus that you do this. How often? Always. Do you ever stop praying? Never, right? Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Whatever happens, give thanks. How are we doing so far? Okay. Now, before I read number five, let me ask you a question. How often have you wanted to shut up the people around you that just say stupid stuff? And you think, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Would you please just shut your mouth, right? And I'd be interested in knowing how you've tried to shut them up and how it worked out for you, right? Here's number five. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. I'd like you to try that method. By doing good, you put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Now, allow me to highlight what it doesn't say. It doesn't say by clever argument. It doesn't say by proving them wrong. It doesn't say by trying to show them up. It doesn't say by Facebook memes that make them look stupid. And it doesn't say by shouting louder. It says by doing good, you put to silence those who are foolish. And that is the will of God. So here's the five things that you now know are God's will for you. There's really no mystery here. We've read it in black and white. It's very clear. Number one, do your daily work with a sincere heart as if you were serving God himself. Number two, keep away from sexual sin. Number three, when you are suffering, and things don't go the way you wish they would, life doesn't look the way you expected it, when you are suffering, trust your Creator and continue to do what is good. Number four, always be joyful, prayerful. Regardless of what happens, give thanks. That's not a suggestion. Always be joyful, prayerful, regardless of what happens. Number five, by doing good, you silence the ignorance of foolish people. Honestly, I have to say to you, I'm hopeful that you're better at doing the will of God than I am. But that's the challenge, isn't it? It isn't really that we don't know what the will of God is, but it demands surrender to Jesus as Lord. It demands that we surrender to Jesus as Lord. Heard a recent quote from Mark Sayers, and he says this: this generation wants the benefits of the kingdom without the king. Does that ring true to you? See, we want all of God's blessings. We want all of these things. I want to buy a van that isn't a lemon. But do I really want the king to run the show? Am I really willing to surrender to his lordship? Please hear my heart. I didn't preach this sermon or the one last week to make you feel guilty. Truly is not my goal. My prayer is that you will allow the Holy Spirit to show you a better way, because that's what I think God wants for you, to call you into a deeper obedience and relationship with Jesus. And I say that recognizing that it's hard. It's hard to break old ways of responding. It's hard to continue doing good when it doesn't look like it's working. Sometimes we pray and try and pray and try and feel like the heavens are like brass. I get it. It's hard to continue doing good even though it doesn't seem to be working out the way you'd like it to. But I'm convinced that if we lived into these plain five things that the Bible says are the will of God, I think we would have the wisdom in making those other decisions that we want to know God's leading in, like buying a van. So the very first step in this process is to admit that you can't do it apart from God's grace. Deeply at work in your heart, and a renewed passion to love and know the King rather than just the blessings of the kingdom. So here's the final passage that I want to leave with you today. It says this: the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. You ever been there? But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Let that idea just sink in for a minute. The Spirit helps you when you're weak, so stop trying to do it on your own and, you know, muster up all of your own strength. Admit that you don't even know what to pray for. That doesn't upset God. It's so much better to let the Spirit intercede for us. The text suggests that He cares so deeply about what we're concerned about that He, the Spirit, intercedes to the point of groanings too deep for words. Now, if the Spirit is groaning, with groanings too deep for words, what happens is that the God who searches hearts, of course, you know that's Jesus, God. Jesus knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Jesus understands the Spirit's groaning, and often the best we can do is kind of groan with him, right? But take comfort because he intercedes for us according to the will of God. And I would suggest to you that's effective praying. And so, Lord God, would you help us this morning as we take a moment and just search our hearts to know how you are calling us to know more of you in 2020, to obey you more fully in 2020. We don't need this excuse to kind of start over and do better, but it's as good a moment as any for us to just respond to you and say, help us today to follow you more fully, to know you more clearly, to hear your voice more deeply in our own hearts. Speak to us. What is our next step in obedience to you? What are you saying to me this morning as we've come to gather in your presence to worship you and to celebrate your goodness? Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.